The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now Sean Defoe is with me, News Talk's political correspondent, to talk about what the Cabinet has on its menu today. And one of those items on the agenda is actually HICWA.
Yeah, it does involve HICWA. So this is an interesting one to build off the back of your last item. And essentially, it's a bill that has been, or an idea at least, has been in the works since 2018 and have been with the Office of the Attorney General for most of that time since. And it is to bring hospitals effectively more under the remit of HICWA, both public and private hospitals, in order to ensure standardised care. It was meant to be brought in the term of the last government, was sort of delayed because of the general election, and now it's going to Cabinet this morning from Jennifer Carroll McNeill, the Patient Safety Licensing Bill. And so it basically builds on existing patient safety legislation, is what they're saying, to ensure that both public and private hospitals are operating to minimum core standards. Now, on the surface of it, that's absolutely fine. It's just interesting it's coming at the time of all these questions about HICWA. As your texter pointed out there, are they just doing announced inspections? Are their inspections making any sort of difference at all? We've obviously seen some of the reports
and
that are really harrowing.
And would that be just too much for them? Imagine HICWA going into, say, St. James Hospital. Mm. Massive undertaking. Or St. Vincent's Hospital, or any of the hospitals around the country, Galway Regional Hospital, whatever. I mean, you'd need a team of dozens of people to go in.
Oh, easily, but also then to ensure that the care that you were getting in James's is the same or similar to the care you're getting in University Hospital Waterford, or if you're taking in the private hospitals in the Beacon. How do you do it then? These little nitty gritty we need to find out. Are you going in and say one year you're looking entirely at paediatrics, or you're looking entirely at one particular speciality?
You see, it looks to me that often what they do is they put in an institution in between them and trouble.
Mm.
Ministers do that. You know, we'll have, instead of the Department of Health being responsible for hospitals, we have the HSE, thank you very much. Instead of the government being responsible for water provision, we'll have Uisce Éireann, thank you very much. Do you know what I mean? They put in an agency in between them.
And in some cases, two agencies, if you look at Children's Health Ireland into the HSE, into the minister, and there's 2 degrees of separation. So it will be interesting to see on a practical level how this operates and what extra resources HICWA is going to get, because they probably need them just to be doing their current body work.
Now, Public Expenditure Minister Jack Chambers is set to warn his cabinet colleagues they're responsible for ensuring, and I have to laugh here, value for money in their department.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's sort of put forward as a memo, just making sure that everybody's aware of all of their responsibilities. To me, it sounds like a bit of a kick. Get your act in order, guys, you know, because we've seen all sorts of different
The
point, because no one ever faces any sort of consequence. Mm. Jack Chambers is essentially saying, ultimately, the buck lands with the minister. So if it's the National Children's Hospital, or it's the bike shed in the Oireachtas, or the new entry for the Department of Finance, ultimately, it's the minister responsible and is maybe trying to put them more in the firing line. But the key word out of the memo that I found is that Minister Chambers will also be writing to all departments to ensure information in the memo is brought to the attention of all relevant public servants in every department, agency and office.
I have to laugh. You had Dara Cleary getting in trouble for a game of golf during COVID and falling on his sword as a result. And other ministers have been responsible for massive overruns, spending the taxpayers' money. No consequence at all.
Again, the 2 degrees of separation. Wasn't me, it was the agency. Sure, we didn't know what was going on. Going back to the OPW even, the fact that they didn't need any sort of approval need to put forward the financial case for projects under €500,000. You know, fine if you're saying €5,000, okay, we need €5,000 to fix the pavement here, but €500,000, awful lot of money.
Now, what about the Occupied Territories Bill? The Thánaiste has indicated he's open to including services in that, but there may be legal questions.
Yeah, so this is the government's version of the bill, coming with the much less snappy title. I'm trying to find it in front of me here, that it is basically making a number of changes to it. So it's going to be now known as the Israeli Settlement Prohibition of Importation of Goods Bill 2025. Try saying that 3 times fast. In essence, the Occupied Territories Bill, a few changes. The Occupied Territories Bill in its original form wasn't specific to Israel and Palestine. It could have been any. They've taken that out. This one is specific to Israel and Palestine, and it does just cover goods. What Simon Harris has said is that he's not sure legally they can do services, and there's been a lot of people in the opposition highlighting things like Airbnb that are operating services in these particular regions, and so instead he has asked the Attorney General to have a look at that. The bill's being published today. It's going to go to the Oireachtas Committee. Certainly wouldn't bank on a decision on services being made before the summer break, and I wouldn't bank at all on this bill being passed before the summer break. They've only got 4 sitting weeks left before to pass any legislation.
Given the big NATO meeting and whether Trump does not arrive, I don't know, but do we have anything to say about this?
Well, there's going to be a lot to say because of there's two interesting sides to it, because obviously everyone, I mean, how many times has someone said to you, are we facing World War III in the last 24 hours? You know, it's what everyone is talking about, and we've seen the ceasefire that turned out not to be a ceasefire overnight. The NATO summit is happening. That is more focused on Russia and Ukraine and getting NATO members to up their defence spending to 3.5% of GDP. They seem to have gotten that commitment from pretty much everyone bar Spain, who is part of that. But it's interesting in that yesterday you had Barry Andrews, the Fianna Fáil MEP, saying that Europe is essentially irrelevant now when it comes to the Middle East, that this really is America's game, to a degree NATO's game, but not really. It's more in the American hands, and that the EU is very much sitting back and letting events unfold. Whether that's a good or a bad thing in your view, there'll be some people who say, well, why should Europe get involved in a, you know, in something that's not our business? There'll be other people who say we should be taking a much harder line on Israel, but getting agreement across the member states is next to impossible. So it's an unusual situation to be in.
Reviving Dublin city centre, and there is an idea.
There is. You probably covered this before, in that there was a Dublin city centre task force that was set up not so long ago. It reported back, and a number of things was included in it was the redevelopment of the GPO into a new site that is going to accommodate a whole range of things. There's going to be some sort of a cultural centre in it. There's also going to be a historic GPO complex, they say, revamped as an ambitious flagship project, cultural, retail and office elements.
Retail in the GPO. Well, they sell stamps at the moment.
They do sell stamps, and you can post your letters. But a retail and office element, all of it funded under the National Development Plan. So this is going to be the idea that you really take back Dublin city centre, because going up O'Connell Street now, not very pleasant. It's pretty
But there
grim.
Will be that big development on the Carlton, which has taken years and years to... It's been planned and replanned, and of course then the so-called 1916 buildings, which are regarded as sacred, even though they've fallen down, to try and preserve them and reinvigorate them.
Well. So,
but there's already a museum within... The GPO.
There is one that was open to great acclaim, and yet I don't know what the visitor numbers are like, but there was an awful lot of money and investment put in and attention by government when that first opened, and now they're saying, look, we need to investigate it. But it is part of a wider plan, like something they're talking about. This is taking over derelict sites in around the city and putting high density housing on it. Again, good idea in theory. Will it actually happen? More guards on the street. So it's part of a wider plan for revitalising the city centre, I guess.
Now, there's another thing. People have been calling for this for years. This is to speed up probate. What are they going to do?
There's a commission underway to not only speed up probate, but also to speed up the legal part of house selling at the minute. And the target is 8 weeks. And at the moment, obviously, it can take a lot longer. Depends on the scenario. If you're someone selling a house and you haven't quite secured your house, it can take longer for agreed reasons, but it can also take longer for legal reasons.
I mean, if properties are now registered in the new computerized system, you know, you don't have to have those ancient folios of documents going back to the 17th century.
Yeah.
You don't have to have those anymore if it's been re-registered, you know. So maybe that's going to speed things up for most people.
It will, but I mean, that's a body of work that'll take an awful long time. Even the searches for folios take an awful long time at the minute. So when that's done, it'll be great. But the probate one is interesting, because they're just saying these are properties that could be on the market and could have someone in the middle
of
a house.
So it's the housing demand that is pushing this.
Yeah, very much so. Now, this commission has been underway for a while. The cabinet's going to be told this morning it's going to take another 6 months to finalise all of the recommendations, but that the target will be by 2027 that you will have most, if not all, of those folios digitised, and then have a turnaround time of 8 weeks from you've gone sale agreed, we've agreed a price, to it's sold and you can move in and the sale is finished.
Now, a lot has been spoken over the last 24 hours. About this time yesterday, we announced it on the programme about the new US visa requirements for people on J, M and F visas. And they want access to your social media for the last 5 years and any names you may have used in that. I mean, what's the government saying about this? It seems a bit intrusive.
It's pretty dystopian, isn't it? You know, you have to have everything on public. You have to have everything you've ever put up. They're going to be looking at your old Instagram stories and your old tweets. Now, the government's kind of between a rock and a hard place. Micheál Martin said yesterday it's excessive. That's probably the strongest anyone has gone to say.
Can they get any guidance from the US? For example, I mean, loads of people were passing around that meme of Donald Trump with the Pope, you know, Donald Trump as Pope at the time of the death of Pope Francis and the conclave was beginning. Would that be enough to exclude you from...
See, we've no idea. We've no idea what the threshold is going to be. Is it just they're looking for people who've been at pro-Palestine marches? You know, that seems to be one of the driving factors, for example. If you're just posting memes, I mean, Donald Trump is partial to a meme himself. Is that going to land you in trouble? I don't know. So what Simon Harris has done last night, he wrote to the US embassy. He's trying to get that clarity for people. And he said he will meet the new ambassador whenever they come in. But it's a bit dodgy for anyone trying to apply now for this summer.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, thank you very much. Now,
the Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.